Thanks for listening to episode 32 of the 11.7 podcast. You guys enjoy this. It's going to be fun. It is an Easter edition episode of the 11.7 podcast. James has been out Easter egg hunting all day today, trying to find some hidden Easter eggs in the college baseball realm.
That's right.
We actually did have a resurrection today with the Florida State Cinnamon Rolls actually looking like they wanted to play baseball this year. They're back on the right path, and we'll get more into all of that later in the episode.
But first, you need to provide our Easter eggs of the rest of the show and of the official show, official podcast of College Baseball Hub. So let's let the fans know what they're going to be getting in episode 32.
That's right. So 32, we're going to do things a little bit different. Usually we save our top 25 until the end of the episode. We do it every Sunday. Today we're going to treat the fans because it is a holiday. We're going to give it to them first. So we're going to give you guys the top 25 first, and then we're going to do our biggest takeaways of this weekend in around college baseball. We're also going to recap our top 10 weekend series competition where we had two winners who tied.
Whoa. Competition?
Yeah, it's not a competition anymore. I pulled off a 1-4. James pulled off a 4-1. It is going in the wrong direction. So we're gonna preview that competition, maybe.
Ben's gonna glance over it. I'm gonna take a look around and smell the nice lead I've put up with about a month ago.
What is it, like a 5.5 game lead?
6 in a loss column. 5. We all know that the real competition is going to be the field of 64 prediction.
Yeah.
This is more of like a regular season.
I'm already looking at the 64 competition. Like, I'm not. This has just gotten bad. It's gone straight downhill, but we'll talk more about that later.
Yep.
We're also going to recap some of our favorite conference standings and what to look forward to for the last month of the season. And we have some midweek matchups we want you guys to focus on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. It's going to be a fun show. I promise we'll be entertaining. And I know it's late, but we thrive in the darkness. Like, we were born in the darkness, molded by it.
This is your ally.
Don't do that, James. That's disturbing. You're going to scare away our fans, but Thanks for sticking with us, guys. We 32 episodes deep, and we have a new, what is this, week 10? No, week 11?
Week 10 recap, week 11 rankings.
Yeah, week 11, top
Test
25.
Me.
We spent a lot of time on this, probably too much time, because we kept debating on who were the top. It wasn't even like the top 20. It was like the top 20 teams we kind of knew, and then there was like 5 that we couldn't fill out. Because everybody sucks now.
Nobody wants it.
Like, we rank teams for a week, and then they prove to us why they weren't ranked the week before. So we have to kick them out.
The worst part about it is there weren't even, like, a group of mid-major teams that we could really argue for. Like, give it to the small
Nobody. I mean, there was really nobody we were considering in a smaller conference besides the teams we already had ranked. In fact, I don't know if we have anybody ranked that's not at a Power 5. ECU, we have them ranked.
And we've determined that that conference does not qualify you for the mid-major category, so.
Yeah. Oh, and also exciting news while we're on it. We're going to be releasing our first ever top 25 for mid-major schools on Wednesday. And we're going to start doing that every week. So a mid-major school is defined as not a Power 5 conference, also not a Group of 5 conference. So pretty much think of it as if you play FCS football or if your conference plays FCS football, we are ranking that top 25. That way, when it comes down to, you know, regional season, conference tournament season, you can look at it and be like, okay, like, I'm a UCLA fan. The 4 seed in our region is Bryant University. I've never heard of Bryant University. Let's go check the top 25 for mid-majors. Oh, wow, they're 12th? Okay, like, they're actually a pretty decent team. Instead of, like, overshadowing looking past them.
That's so right.
So it's going to serve a good purpose. I think we're really excited for that.
Yeah, we'll do that.
We'll do that the middle portion of the week, aka hump day. episode for our mid-majors. Only
episode
fitting.
33.
Yeah, 33. So look for that this coming up week. James, you want to go ahead and launch our top 25?
Yes. I feel like starting with 25 this week, unless you have...
Let's actually start with one. Because I think 1 through 20 was kind of like similar teams. And then we want to save the last five because I feel like we're going to have a lot of our fans pleased because I think we have four new teams this week that jumped in. So we'll see how long they last. Probably not long. I know some teams that aren't in it. Ole Miss, expelled. Don't get your hopes up. Permanent. For the 2019 season, expelled. We also had Clemson fall out. I think Missouri fell out, but we'll let you guys figure out who all fell out. We had quite a few, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there. But
hey, Ben.
I've
got to go get my computer charger.
All right. Well, while you go get your computer charger, I'm going to read off probably the top 15. So hurry up.
Bye.
I'll just wing it. It's not a big deal. I know what I'm talking about. So. Ranked number one comes in UCLA Bruins. The Bruins come in, the number one team from last week, took care of business this week. They lose a Friday night matchup against, I believe, Cal, but they look good. Well, you missed a whole one. The people know who number one is now. Yeah. So number two is Vanderbilt. Still look good. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, Vanderbilt lost 2 out of 3 against Georgia. Why is Georgia not ranked ahead of them?
Tell them the answer, Ben.
I mean, the best answer we can come up for you is, one, we think Vanderbilt is more talented as a whole. They went to Georgia. They lost a close one. Georgia, probably a little bit less talented. They had the home field advantage going for them. We think if they played neutral site, Vanderbilt wins at least 2 out of 3. But that's just our opinions. You guys are probably...
You missed my favorite one.
We make the rules.
And then the other one is, look... We talked to a couple people because we like to engage with our listeners. We talked to a couple people about this specific instance. Oh, Georgia beat them 2 out of 3. What that really means is they've played 3 games against each other and Vanderbilt trails by 1 game. Let's just relax here, man. At this point in the season, there's 38 other games to look at and a body of work. If this was week one, I get it. It ain't week one. It's not.
Yeah. It's the whole body of work plus the eye test. We focus a lot on the eye test too. We think, I mean, JJ Bleday has 20 homers this year.
JJ Bleday is like, there's no one that matches up with JJ Bleday. Sorry.
Right now, I don't think so. Number three, Stanford. Number four, Georgia. So Georgia fans, don't hate us too much. We have you in the top five at number four. Oregon State stays at number 5. Arkansas jumps up to number 6 after sweeping Mississippi State. That crowd was electric all weekend. Love that whole scene. Louisville stays
about
number...
that game for an hour.
Oh, I know. We might actually today. Louisville stays at number 7. Mississippi State falls to 8. UC Santa Barbara moves up to 9. So they're one of the mid-major teams that is in the top 10 in the whole ranking. So good for them. They've been on a roll. Georgia Tech at 10, Arizona State 11, North Carolina 12, Texas A&M 13, Texas Tech 14, East Carolina 15, Tennessee moves up to 16 to be our last regional host this year.
That's right.
They've been playing well. They just swept Kentucky, came back after
the fireworks in that series.
Yeah, after the benches cleared after game one, they came back and won Game 2 and 3, so good weekend for them. LSU at 17, just outside the regional. NC State 18, Auburn 19. Oklahoma State moves to 20 after not being ranked last week. So that's a new team in the top 25.
Can we just take a minute and say that they absolutely just crapped all of the Texas Longhorns?
Dude, James, it wasn't even close. I felt like Texas was like actually Texas Southern, like dressed in Texas uniforms. Like the runs that they were giving up were just unheard of.
And, not good.
And Texas has looked bad the last couple weeks.
They're on the verge. Like they need to pay attention. They need to watch out. I don't know if they can afford to go 500 down the last 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah, they have like 18 games left. They're looking at if they don't go at least 12-6 in the last 18. They're probably not an at-large right now.
And Ben and I were talking before the show how annoying of a situation this is, because if they do get into the tournament, how are you going to rank them as a 3 seed? Like they're going to – I don't know. It's so weird. Like, I don't like it. I really just don't – I don't like it at all.
You would rather see teams like Tennessee Tech from last year as a 3 seed.
Yes.
Or like a good mid-major. Like, that's who you want as a 3 seed.
Like, if Liberty doesn't win their conference tournament.
Yeah. Like, you don't want to see, like, a top 10 overall recruiting class at a number 3 seed in your regional.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not fair.
Yeah, 100%.
So Oklahoma State 20. Miami actually moves up from 25 to 21 this week, even though they lost 2 out of 3 to Louisville.
But
the main takeaway is they won on Friday night, or I guess maybe Thursday night of last week. They played competitively. They were at Louisville. They're playing well in the ACC, except for the NC State sweep that they had a couple weeks ago. But I think the Hurricanes are the real deal. They passed the eye test. They're a fun team to watch. They're a fun team to root for. If you're somebody who lives, like, wants to follow college baseball but don't have a favorite team, I think the Hurricanes are a good place to start, because they have exciting players, talented players. They're a team nobody's really talking about right now, besides maybe us. But yeah, I mean, that's a good team to adopt if you don't have a team that you're rooting for. Or maybe your team's just awful, like James's. James's Longwood Lancers are sitting at 290 out of 299. They're 10 spots away from being the worst team in college baseball.
What is going on? We were just talking about before the show how my junior year we were like 152 in the RPI. Very respectable. Very, very respectable. 32 in season. And things just not going the right way. Not going the right way.
30, right?
What, dude, Mercer wins a series and now you want to dump a mile along?
Mercer's on a 5-game winning streak, baby.
Oh, call.
5 games, man. Sitting at fourth in the conference standings. So, anyways, Miami 21. Indiana moves into the top 25 at number 22. Indiana's rolling the Big Ten right now. They're going to be they're my favorite to win it. I think it should be everybody's favorite.
I actually like the top end teams of the Big Ten. I think they're sneaky come tournament time.
Yeah.
I think they're sneaky.
It's not a bad call. West Virginia at 23. They're playing good ball in the Big 12. They have probably one of the best arms in the nation. Their Friday guy's like 9-0 this year with like a 1 ERA, like 95 strikeouts in 60 innings.
Just I smell an interview coming. Up.
Oh, no. Oh, no, don't say that. Don't put that evil on him.
I smell it. Yeah, I wouldn't want to make him have to come and talk baseball with us. Yeah. God forbid a college baseball player has to come talk to us. It's actually been kind of fun. I think people don't hate us.
No, not yet, at least.
They don't hate us yet. So that means okay.
Rounding out the top 25, we have Missouri at 24, and Baylor sticks in the top 25 at 25, mainly because they lost 2 out of 3 to Texas Tech, but Texas Tech's a pretty good team. Baylor's been really hurt this year, a lot of injuries. They've battled together. They've had people step up for them. And another reason why Baylor's 25.
No one else wants it.
Nobody else wants it. Like, how are we going to put a team in there that doesn't deserve it? And you guys will probably argue, like, your team deserves to be in the top 25. But when it's all said and done, I don't think any other team is sitting in there, like, outside the top 25
looked.
That's
beating
Baylor.
Really,
I don't think they're beating Baylor in a series. So, yeah, it was tough. So, like, 23 through 25 was tough. But, whatever.
Dude, honestly, you know what I feel like? I feel like the 25th team is kind of like being the 25th guy on the roster. And I can say that because I've been the 25th guy on a roster. It's kind of, please don't get too upset. Like,
yeah,
we should be top 25. Well, maybe, but you're not. So
still don't want to be the 25th guy.
Right.
Well, at the end of the day, 9 through 25 don't mean anything because you're not going to Omaha.
Well, we also have agreed that as former college baseball players, we do these rankings because we like to rank things, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter.
It all gets solved on the field, which is why college baseball is so great. Guess what?
You know what?
Nobody is eliminated from play until you lose, right?
This
so it's
is,
not
this
like
is accurate.
It's not like college football where Like, you could win every game like UCF and not get invited to play for the championship. Think about this, James.
Dude, you're firing me up.
You could be the 299th team in the RPI, and you are not eliminated until you lose. Like, conference.
So you're saying my Longwood Dancers have a chance.
If Longwood wins their conference tournament, guess what? They have a seat in the 64-team regional, right?
I have.
They don't lose there. If they don't lose there, they keep playing. Like, that's why college baseball is so great. So rankings don't mean anything because it all gets solved on the field.
There shouldn't
be rankings in any other sport besides football, because football, it actually plays a big factor in who gets to play for what.
Yeah, which is why college baseball is better than football. Anyway.
Yeah.
But dude, so this is not part of the show, but I want to hit you. I want to see what you think about this. I'm going to hit you with the Big South conference standings. Not the standings, but the format of the tournament.
Okay. Wait, how many teams?
That's what I want to talk to you about, because it's kind of weird. So there's 10 teams in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
9 go to the tournament.
And then, wait, why?
I'm
not inviting 10 or just cut it to 8.
I think the NCAA was like, hey, like, cut the crap. Like, we ain't taking so long to get this done. But so I want to hear what you think about this. So seed number 6 and 9 play each other.
Nice.
Along with teams 7 and 8, not as nice. They play each other in a single elimination format. So in essence, there are 2 play-in games, in essence, single elimination, and then the number 1 seed gets a bye. So in the way the Big South broke this down is they wanted to guarantee that the number 1 team be one of the final 6 teams remaining in the tournament. And this is how they do it. Is so there's okay. 2
I see it, but I don't like it.
That's weird. 4 teams are faced with a single elimination in the tournament. That's wild. That is so wild.
Okay, so the SoCon's pretty similar. I'll make this pretty quick because I don't want to bore our fans. The SoCon has 9 teams in it. Well, they have 10 teams, but UT Chattanooga doesn't have a team. So there's 9 baseball schools. And everybody goes to the conference tournament. And 8 and 9 play a single elimination to see who plays the 1 seed.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it's just double elimination. Yeah. So, like, that's weird how – I mean, I'm starting to like it more how the Big South does it. Guarantee the first seed, like, gets a bye. Everybody else, I mean, they deserve it, right?
Yeah,
for them to play for.
I'm fine with 1 playing game, but 2 playing games is weird, because that means if you finish you finish 6 out of 10 in the conference, you're like a face for the 1-and-done situation. So you got to go top 5 just to feel like safe. It's weird, but I found that out today. It was weird, but let's go ahead and move on out of the top 25.
Yeah. So what were your biggest takeaways from the weekend, James? Well, there was a lot of stuff to focus on. I mean, we had the third paid assistant. That vote came out, and unfortunately for everybody, it did not get passed. So instead of dwelling on other people's mistakes, there's really nothing we can do right now to be progressive in college baseball, apparently. Nobody wants to, like, I don't know, make any sort of changes. But let's recap it for the fans. So basically, what really hurt this vote was that the ACC – no, no, the Big Ten and the Big 12 – did not favor it, along with the ACC was back and forth.
When you name the conferences, what you're really talking about is like the majority of the athletic directors.
So the athletic directors voted on it, and a majority vote wins. And there was actually cases where ADs didn't even vote. Like, athletic directors
abstained from voting, which is crap.
Like, do your job, dude. You don't have a lot of priorities, Mr. Athletic Director, like, vote. So that was dumb. But a lot of this excuses for we're not going to talk about why it should pass, because we've done that in the past. We'll bring up the reasons why the athletic directors did not want it to pass. A lot of it had to do with, like, if you passed it for baseball, it had to pass for softball too, which is ridiculous in my opinion, how they continue to compare those sports. You know what I mean? Like, I'm all for equality. Like,
we talked about it before the show.
Yeah, I'm all for equality. But I don't think every time baseball is mentioned, softball has to be mentioned in the same sentence.
Well, if you really wanted quality, let's give us the same ratio of player to coaches. Like,
yeah.
pick your metric. And yeah. Seems like they're choosing to die on the hill of number of coaches.
So, right. Lame. Right. It also had to do with scholarship amounts. Many athletic directors felt that they needed to increase scholarships before they increased coaches. Fair enough. We wouldn't have got our show title without the scholarship fiasco. I think you know where we stand on that. Yep. There needs to be more money put into that because it's just not fair. I mean, I think it was 2 years ago, Coastal Carolina had a position player hitting like fourth form who was a walk-on. Like, you're telling me that you're playing for a national championship hitting in the middle of the order and the NCAA is making millions of dollars off this tournament, especially in Omaha, and you're paying to go to school? Like, you're paying to play in that game? Are you kidding me? Like, that can't happen. So,
pretty wild.
Yeah, it's a wild story. So, baseball scholarships do need to be increased, but apparently there's no progression towards that right now. They're at a standstill. And the biggest reason why there's a standstill, this is a fun fact for our fans, is because only 50% of Division I schools honor the 11.7.
Yeah, that's right. Most teams are below that.
But I think it's like 51% or 49% are below 11.7.
I think I read it was 52.
Yeah, so a majority of the schools don't even get up to 11.7. So they're saying, why should we raise it even more? Like, that would create an unfair advantage, which it would. But is it time to start thinking about like an FCS and an FBS division?
I'm all for it.
Like, I've seen some proposals where they move it up to 18 scholarships, and any team that wants to like make that jump, it doesn't matter what conference they're in or what, you know, if they want to invest in baseball, move it up to 18, the limit, and they honor that, then you can play for one national championship while the teams in the schools that don't want to afford it go play for another national championship. So
why not?
Why not? Let's do something different.
Wanted to talk about once we're finished with the third coach being
I'm done with it. I'm done with it.
Okay.
I'm tired of hearing about it. I've read every article. It's just, it gets annoying to me now because, like, what's the point? Nothing can be done now.
The sound of progress is slow and dull, and people only going to do something for a couple of reasons. One, everyone else is doing it. Two, they think they look bad. Three, they find something that they're motivated. They have to get something good out of it. And right now, there's just none of those three things have been hit yet.
Right.
There's nothing in it for the ADs. It doesn't make them look any smarter or like make them feel good about themselves. They're starting to get their names smeared, but is it enough? That's number two. And number three, they don't want to do something different. They don't want to go outside the box.
Right.
So that's basically in a nutshell. Why isn't it passing? That's my take on it. But another thing that was passed that is kind of bigger news than I think has been publicized is the recruiting changes and a particular weekend that Ben and I noticed might be problematic for we already touched on earlier this year. And I guess I'll just go ahead and say it, that basically the Junior College World Series now falls on either I think it's a quiet period or a dead period.
Yeah, it's a restricted period for recruiting now.
Yes.
And like coaches somehow favored it and voted for it.
Yeah.
But
this is such a big deal, you're like, if you're a casual college baseball fan, no ill will intended, but Ren and I have talked on the show that 11 of the 14 teams in the SEC have had a JUCO player hitting third or fourth this season. I mean, that's not even to count. We're not even talking about weekend rotation guys. And I wouldn't be surprised. I guarantee you every team in the SEC has had a JUCO guy pitch in the weekend rotation this year. I would just guarantee. But so basically, Junior College World Series is a chance where you get this, where these players get to be showcased and seen. And now it doesn't look like that's going to be as possible, which I won't even say it hurts the players necessarily, but it definitely like hurts the schools. Like, how are they going to get out and make these big decisions?
Well, James, this is how it works. Schools go to the JUCO World Series to recruit, like all schools do, for two reasons. One, if you're a mid-major team and you feel like you need some more immediate impact on your program, you go and recruit guys who are playing at the best of the best and succeeding, right? But ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12 schools, they go and recruit because the draft is the next week, right? Or 2 weeks down the line. So they don't know who they're losing. And if they lose, they need a name that they can pick up immediately and be like, all right, here's a junior
fast.
For next. Yeah, it happens
fast.
Yeah, I've had a lot of friends that have been in that position. So, like, the draft is the next week or 2 weeks down the line, and they need a JUCO guy that they can call up immediately and say,
it's actually the same. It's normally about 4 days apart, actually.
Yeah, it's like really close. So,
the national championship game and the draft are within about 72 hours almost.
So, exactly. So now that coaches can't go out and recruit, it hurts the players because some of them are unsigned and they don't, you know, nobody's looking at them the last week of the season. And it also hurts the schools because now they can't go see players that they might like. There's no time really in the season to go recruit.
Yeah.
So they're out of the conference tournament. They need to go recruit for next year. Too bad. Can't go to the JUCO World Series anymore. So that was something else that we took away from this weekend. Another thing that's pretty funny that
I'll add on that topic that the National Junior College Athletic Association has a member of the decision makers, the higher ups, has stated on Twitter that they're going to be moving to fixing this issue with the recruiting calendar, like as soon as possible. So basically, like, they were made aware of it and they're actually taking action on it.
The way that I'm perceiving this is that a bunch of coaches got together that were required to vote, and they're like, yeah, like we need more family time. Like that looks like a good weekend right after conference tournament. Like we're not playing. Like we don't want to go immediately start recruiting again. We want some downtime. And then someone goes, hey, that's the same weekend as what happened probably was some assistant coach went to go book a flight.
Yeah, that's
World
exactly
Series.
What happened.
And he was like, wait, hold on.
I can't recruit that weekend.
Wait, who should I tell about this? So that's probably what happened.
So that's exactly how people found out. I guarantee
it. Somebody tried to book a flight, and there was like big red boxes on like those dates. So like, can't fly to go recruit. And he's like, but coach, Mr. Head Manager, sir, that's we need to go recruit. God, we're so stupid.
Wild stuff.
This is something funny from the weekend takeaway. A little Easter tie-in. Florida State has resurrected from the dead. They were about 3 weeks of resurrection.
I'm more disappointed in Clemson than happy with Florida State.
Okay. I don't really care about Clemson too much. I think that they're always overrated. It makes me so mad that they have a style of pants named after them, the Clemson Cut.
That makes you mad?
Well, it makes me mad because I have the body type that never would look good in those pants. So I have a right
good
to
thing,
hate.
Good thing you didn't go to Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, it was really tough turning them down. I can't go here, coach. Won't fit in those pants you got there. But dude, I think they look nice. But is there any other equipment that's named after a school? Like out of any... Yankee pinstripes is the only thing I can think of.
Oh, God.
But, no, Clemson cut pants. Who invented that?
I'm digging into this. I have a nugget. Yeah. I'm going to be looking into this.
Another takeaway. I don't know who's worse, Texas or TCU. They both suck right now.
Terrible.
Oklahoma State absolutely mashes baseballs. They look like – have you ever played backyard baseball, James?
I have. I think I was playing before the show started.
Yeah. that's true. But anyways, it seems like Oklahoma
State. It's too easy for them right now.
Oklahoma State just has like the permanent aluminum bat power up.
Ooh.
Just automatic home runs after home runs. They're not getting fooled by pitches. It's like actually kind of like raising the question of like, are they stealing signs? Because they're not fooled on any pitch. And that's a hot take for me today.
Ooh,
I'm gonna throw it out there. I think Oklahoma State is stealing signs because what did they score? Like a million runs this weekend. Like,
1.5 million.
They knew what Texas was throwing before Texas even knew what Texas was throwing. A lot of barrels. I'm a big fan of stealing signs. I've tried to do it multiple times. I don't know if I was ever correct, but that's my hot take. Oklahoma State stealing signs. So be it. Whatever.
Finding a way to lay the hammer down on the Longhorns. Not a good weekend for the Longhorns. My big takeaway, Mississippi State, I'm starting to be a little wary. Like, that's a series you really need to win. Or not win. They need to show up. They really needed
just
to show
don't
up.
Don't lose. Yeah.
Yeah. They really need to show up. They're going to have other opportunities. But Ben and I were talking before the show, and the NC States, the Mississippi States, the teams that were so, like, 1-2, 1-3 early in the season when everyone's strength of schedule was just kind of eh. Like, there's just a high correlation between, like, your strength of schedule and how volatile you are going to end up in the rankings, like, from, you know, March 1st, March 10th to April 25th. It's wild. But I think my deal with Mississippi State is I think they're still going to be legitimately contending for national title. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't end up as a top eight national seed, honestly. If, you know, let's say they go a game or two above 500 in the SEC the rest of the way. Are they top eight national seed? I doubt it. You know, I doubt it. But I still think they're going to be legitimate force. But, you know, you've got the best pitcher in the country statistically, Ethan Small. And they have tons of guys that hit the ball hard. But definitely just that was my big takeaway was, oh, man, like I was expecting that to be a tough series, like maybe extra innings on Sunday. And you know what I mean? And just Arkansas really, really took it to them on Saturday and Sunday.
So Arkansas is another team that has shown signs of weakness, but have also just taken care of business. And I haven't figured them out yet. I know they're more talented than Florida and Ole Miss and LSU, like those style of schools where it's, you know, what is it? Black and white, I guess you can say, or one spectrum or the other. Like some weekends they play great. Arkansas, what was it? They got swept early in the year in the SEC by, I'm blanking on it, whoever it was.
I'm looking it up.
So Arkansas has shown signs of weakness, obviously, but they went out this weekend and wanted to prove something to the nation. They were sick and tired of hearing about one of their rivals down south, Florida State, with their brand new stadium and their crazy fan base.
Mississippi State.
Mississippi State. I'm sorry. What did I just say?
You said Florida State. It's okay.
Florida State. I meant Mississippi State. Wrong maroon colored school. But they were like, hey, come to our place. We'll play you, and we'll have just as many fans that you guys have, and they're going to be way more wild, way more rowdy. Our players are going to be 100% ready to play.
They looked the part. You mentioned Arkansas. What they did is that they lost the series to Vanderbilt, and just a couple weeks before they lost the series to Ole Miss too. And their losses.
Ole Miss. So I mean, I thought Arkansas got swept by somebody.
I'm looking at it right now.
Okay, never mind. Sorry, Arkansas fans. Misinformed. But, yeah, no, Arkansas was looking for something to prove, and they did. And that's why we jumped them up in the rankings this week. The SEC as a whole is just a giant, like, fight club. And they're just beating the crap out of each other every week, back and forth.
We're going to look over the standings.
And besides Kentucky, South Carolina,
Alabama.
The rest can beat anybody on any given day.
Yeah, LSU's back from the dead. What are they, 11-8 or 11-7 in the SEC now?
Yeah. LSU's looked really good. Well, they've been injured. Like their starting pitching staff has been pretty injured. A lot of young guys in the lineup.
They're 4-10 on the road.
Well, that's what happens whenever you beat teams in front of 10,000 screaming Cajuns.
Yeah. Little less intensity.
It's gonna be a lot of fun at the end of the year, like breaking down some numbers to our fans. Like, oh, did you know? Like, we played the whole 56 game schedule, and did you know Florida was 2-20 against teams in the top 100 RPI? Like stuff like that. I don't know. Like, we're gonna find some interesting tidbits for you guys. But anyways,
Florida's 3-9 on the road.
Yeah, just SEC teams can't win. Maybe it's SEC teams play better at home.
Well, what I was going to mention with those records is what really stands out to me is team. Like, what I look for is who played well on the road. That's what really tells me the most. It's who played well on the road. And a couple examples of it, I mean, you've got Florida, LSU, poor road records. Georgia's 11-5 on the road. And because a lot of these bigger schools, they will avoid playing road games as often as possible. They'll schedule the Longwoods of the world. They'll schedule those teams midweeks. Hey, come up for a drive. We'll pay for everything. We'll put you up in a hotel if you'll stay Tuesday and Wednesday. You know, we'll feed you. They pay for all of it in exchange. You know, we're going to get a couple wins. We're going to play some guys on, you know, 25% scholarship that – we're going to give them just enough playing time so they don't transfer.
Yeah.
And so that's why I really look at these road records. So, you know, that's what really shows me something is teams that can handle themselves on the road against other quality teams. But
that's a good take. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So James, let's briefly go over the top 10 weekend series
showdown. I'm starting to feel good.
It was just another utter embarrassment on my end. I've been just playing bad baseball recently.
I think I think you've been picking with your heart more than your head.
Yeah. So
I'm calling you out. You got to get it together.
I have to, dude. I mean, like, I have to have a bounce back week. If I don't, like, I don't. What am I, 16-19 this year?
The magic number is starting to be the magic number is now a ticker on the bottom of the screen.
I know. just think about this. If I go 5-0 this week and you go 0-5, you still have like a half game lead, I think.
Yes. And this is a good week for you. This is good because I will pick the series, but you get to pick me first and then this is a good week for you to pull out a 4-1 and maybe I go 2-3. You know, like 4-1 and 2-3 is not impossible. We've done that a couple times.
Right.
What you really can't have is we trade 3-2s for the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Right. Okay. Well, dude, I'm looking at it again, and the only series that I won was Louisville over Miami, and, like, that was kind of close. Like, I'm pretty sure it was very close. I'm sure Louisville, like, there was some chances for Miami to win that series. I'll just put it that way.
Oh, definitely. There definitely were.
Yeah, but for you, you actually went 4-0-1 this week.
I didn't lose. Yeah,
you didn't lose.
Wofford and East Tennessee didn't play their last game, so it could have been a loss, could have been a win. Who knows?
Golly, man, that's just tough. So, I mean, you hit on Georgia over Missouri, you hit on Troy over Appalachian State, you hit on LSU over Florida, you hit Texas A&M over South Carolina, and then you split Wofford, East Tennessee State. You picked the better team. I think East Tennessee State would have won Sunday's game on the road. I mean, at home.
I think so too. But you know, this is what happens. Can't control that type of stuff. Just gonna keep rolling on.
Right. I'm so dumb for picking Mississippi State to go to Arkansas. I guess hindsight's 20/20.
With your heart. You're picking with your heart, man.
Oh my god! And then I completely faded Texas State at home. That's just dumb. I'm gonna flip a coin next week. That's what I'm gonna do.
It's got to be a bounce back week. You know what? I love this series we've been doing, so I'm gonna look up some early series of the week for next week tonight.
Oh, tonight. Okay, cool. All right, we gotta go over some conference standings. We promised the fans some conference standings.
All right.
I'm gonna start with the Big 12 because I think that's one of the more interesting ones because it is only 9 teams. And you have teams like Kansas State and Kansas, like, playing the top teams tough. So right now, as of this podcast, Oklahoma State leads the Big 12 by half a game over Baylor. And then it comes, like, listen to this. 8th place is Texas, 4.5 back. And last place is Kansas, 5 games back. So all nine teams are within five games. This conference has just been nuts.
Right here. Nobody wants it.
Oklahoma State in first, Baylor half game out, Texas Tech 2 games out, West Virginia 2 games out, Oklahoma 2.5, TCU 2.5. You have TCU at 2.5 games out of first place in the Big 12. Let's say if they sweep and things go their way, they could potentially be in first place after one weekend.
It's nuts, dude. It's totally nuts. I can't wait to see it.
And then shout out to Texas, 5-9 in the Big 12, 4.5 out, horns down. If the season ended today, there's no way, no way they put them in that tournament.
Their RPI is like 35, though. It's so wild.
I don't get it. I'm not arguing with it, though. Whatever. All right, James, hit us with a conference. We're going to do two each, okay?
All right, I'm going over the ACC right now. We're going to look at the Atlantic Division. You've got Louisville sitting on top of the 2-game lead over NC State. We don't know what to make of them. And then right below them is Florida State. Don't know what to make of them either. So you've got Louisville and then sort of chasing them, sort of floundering. It's NC State and Florida State. In the Coastal Division, you've got North Carolina and Georgia Tech tied at 13-8, followed by Miami and Duke. Duke with a big turnaround this weekend. Possibly, if they can really get things going, have a chance to get in the at-large discussion. You know, we've done the Field of 64 projections. We've done it twice now, and there really is some at-large positions like up for grabs. Like, teams still have chances to really make runs and solidify themselves. It's not like we had too many teams with too few spots. There's the other way around. Like, we have spots and we don't know who to put there. So. Yeah, so that's the rundown in the ACC. Go ahead, Ben.
I'm going to do the Big Ten. If you eliminate – well, first of all, still really stupid how the Big Ten has 13 baseball schools.
Love it.
Like, just call yourself the Big 13. Come on. Anyway, so if you take out the bottom two, Michigan State and Penn State, who are 1-10 and 1-13 respectively, 1 through 10, very competitive. Nebraska's in first. Indiana second, half a game out, only because Nebraska's played 3 more games. And then you have Michigan, Iowa, Minnesota, Rutgers, all within 3 games. And then you have Illinois, Ohio State, Maryland, Purdue, Northwestern, all within 4.5 games.
Dude, that's nuts.
That conference is just exchanging wins with each other. Like, one weekend they win 2 out of 3, the next weekend they, you know, lose 2 out of 3. That'll be fun. That'll be a fun tournament to watch, too. It's on Big Ten Network.
I love these conference tournaments.
Yeah, they televise every game. I think Iowa's a sneaky team in that conference. I really like Illinois. I think Illinois in the 7 seed is dangerous right now.
Illinois has Zach Taylor. He's an absolute beast. A kid can absolutely rip.
Indiana and Illinois are projected to play in the first round of the Big 12 or Big 10 tournament.
I want every bit of that game.
That is
inject that game into my face.
That is outrageous. All right, James, do your last conference.
All right. Well, today we're going to do a little special conference. It's getting to the time of the year. The tournament's coming up. You're going to see these mid-major teams. So we're just going to give you a little rundown of a random mid-major conference so you can kind of see who are the movers and shakers in there. Ben, do you have a conference you'd like to nominate? If not, I will pick one.
I like Big West. I think the Big West is always a good conference and
kind of
tournament time.
Big West. We make the rules. We're going Big West. All right. Big West standings in 2019. Cal Poly is your surprise front runner right now, ahead of UC Santa Barbara, the Gauchos, by half a game. Cal Poly 10-2 in the conference standings.
So, yeah, Cal Poly's played 3 more games than UC Santa Barbara. When do they match up? That'll be a fun series right there.
That's a research question.
I'm researching right now. You go ahead.
So Santa Barbara sits in second
place. Last weekend of the series.
Give it to me.
Season. Last weekend of the season, 23rd through 25th.
That will be such an intense week for Cal Poly. And, like, for those – mostly for Cal Poly, because Santa Barbara's going to get in, like – I can just smell the passion coming from the Cal Poly dugout for that series. I want it yesterday. UC Irvine's in third. They're 2 games back. Hawaii, they're 6-6 and 4 games back. Cal State Fullerton, That is a team, Ben. It kind of saddens me to say. I don't know why I'm so romantic about these West Coast, like, mid-major schools that, like, you've never – I remember when I was a kid hearing of these schools and about – that's a school, and the only reason I know them is because of their baseball team, right? Like, but it looks like Cal State Fullerton is not going to be able to sneak in. They're not getting an at-large bid.
They have a tournament streak of, like, 30 consecutive years, I think, or maybe more.
Dude,
so that's definitely breaking this year. They're 16-19 overall. If they don't win the tournament, like their conference tournament, they're out. No chance.
So what are the chances that there's some big time names like Cal State Fullerton, Florida State,
Long Beach State, they're out.
Long Beach State, Fullerton, Texas, Florida State,
TCU,
maybe not all in the tournament.
TCU, it's another school.
TCU is definitely in a worse spot than Texas. There's no doubt. Right. I don't know about that. UC Riverside sitting at sixth place at 3-6. Cal State Northridge at 4-8. And then you've got the Long Beach State Dirtbags, 2-7. And last but not least, UC Davis is 3-9 in the conference. So that's your Big West standings update.
Dude, how about this fact of the Big West?
Yeah.
4-9 are all under 500. And first place is actually only 2 games above 500. So Cal Poly is 10-2 in the conference, 19-17 overall. So they are 2-15 out of conference. Ouch. How is that possible?
Ouch. Not.
The Mustangs lose 3 to Oklahoma to start the year, 3 to Cal, get swept. They got swept their first 3 weekends.
What?
Washington, Cal, and Oklahoma all swept him. And then they lose 2 out of 3 to Baylor.
Hey, you know what that means? That team knows exactly how good they are. They know.
Listen to this. They lost 2 out of 3. Their only 2 conference losses were to Cal State Fullerton. They lost 2 out of 3, April 5th through 7th.
So have they played Irvine or Santa Barbara yet?
No.
So they've been beating up on the bad team.
If you would have listened, like maybe 30 seconds ago, I said that Santa Barbara and Cal Poly played
last. Well, I heard that one.
Okay, and then they play Irvine 2 weekends from now, 3 weekends from now.
So what you're saying is they will not be sitting in first place.
I don't think so. I think it's a very big stretch. They're just playing bad teams in their
conference. I'm rooting for chaos, and I hope they sweep one or both of these teams.
Right. All right, James. So let's do our midweek matchups. Do you have any that were kind of sticking out to you?
Yeah, I do. Right. We go ahead and last week we totally goofed and didn't preview the midweek, so we're gonna get to it this week. I've got UNLV and Arizona State on Tuesday, Dallas Baptist and the underdog TCU Horned Frogs also playing. Ooh. Yep. They need that. They're playing at home. They got to start. I don't think they're going to make it, honestly. UCLA and Fullerton as well. You have Lamar and LSU. Let's see if LSU can get themselves together in the midweeks. Another struggling Texas team, Texas and Texas State. This is at San Marcos, Ben. Not going to be a fun game for the Longhorns.
I'm going to say must win for the Longhorns. I know it's midweek, but
yeah,
if you don't beat Texas State, I know Texas State is really good. So like this is one of the midweeks that Texas has that will help their RPI. So they need it.
They really do. You've got Mississippi State and Ole Miss playing a midweek game. I'm excited to see that. I think those coaches are gonna treat it like a glorified inner squad, honestly. Pretty much. Georgia and Georgia Tech playing as well Tuesday night, and just a couple more games. Winthrop and Clemson is a matchup I'm interested in seeing. I know personally that Winthrop can really swing the bat. I follow the Big South closely. You also have Coastal Carolina and North Carolina. Coastal is – we haven't touched on this. They're low-key a team that might not make the tournament either.
They're not looking like it. We barely put them in for our projection, and that's only because we think that they're going to win the conference tournament.
Oh, dude, a tale of two halves of the season.
Yeah.
And then – last but not least, something that sticks out to me is you have Louisville and Cincinnati playing. I like seeing those two schools match up. So those are some midweek games to look out for on Tuesday.
On Tuesday. And I have Wednesday's schedule pulled up. And let me just go through the matchups that I'm really interested in. All right, ready, set, go.
Hit it.
Well, that's about it. That's all.
That was it. Those are all the matchups. All right.
Now there's some matchups, but they're just so. Like, actually, I'm interested in Georgetown versus George Washington because I want to know what George wins. That's about it.
Everybody, so what you're saying is going to be a nice, boring day of practice Wednesday for the players across the country.
Stetson going to Florida State's pretty cool. Maybe like last year. Last year, that'd have been cool.
Yeah.
I mean, besides that, it's just a lot of matchups of teams paying schools to come down and lose.
Take a big old butt whooping.
Yep. All right. So our last segment of the show, we're gonna make this kind of, maybe not kind of quick. We'll spend some time on it, but we had a question DM to us that we really want to cover. It's from a fan of ours that he's pretty interactive, I guess, to say the least. But James, if you wanna, this is kind of, it was DM to you, wasn't it, or was it DM to the account?
It was DM to the account, and I happen to be at the controls at the moment.
Yeah. It's basically saying, like, hey, I'm a big Cal fan. I like the Cal Golden Bears. They've had a chance to beat teams who are really good, like way ahead of them in the rankings.
And they just seem to keep losing.
So, like, they had UCLA on the ropes. They could have won that series. They didn't do it. There was another series early in the year.
LSU.
They had them on the ropes.
They lost 2 one-run games.
And so the question to us is, it had something to do with an it factor?
He's afraid that they just don't have it. And he said, as college players, what do you guys think about that? Because I'm a big Cal fan, and I just don't think they have it, or I'm worried that they don't.
Right. And I can answer this because I think my opinion is going to be a little bit different than yours. I've always been a big believer that good teams find a way to win. And I'm not saying bad teams find a way to lose. I'm just saying bad teams don't know how to win. Like Cal score whenever you're scrolling down the scoreboard. It's just like, that Cal. It helps that they've been to a College World Series in the last 10 years. It's also helped that they have a Golden Spikes winner. But you're still right. Like, if those two things don't make them like a premier school in their conference, then like what else is it going to take?
So, I think just really... summarize the point here. We're not saying it's some mystical locker room thing. Like, no, it's really, really hard to be really good.
Yeah.
And that's what it takes to get an automatic bid. You know, you gotta be really good. And they're just not. And it's small differences. It really is small differences. It might be the way they go about development in the fall. I don't know. Like we heard something really good. I thought it was really, really good with Michael Early in Arizona State. They don't do standard inter squads up there. They get their best players to play against each other as often as they can. Yeah, it's boring, but it's probably smart. So it's probably really fine hairs, but that's kind of our segment on what's the it factor.
Yeah. So next time somebody asks you, like, hey, do you think, you know, Mississippi State has the it factor? You can put that into perspective and form your own opinion. You don't have to rely on others.
God, I love you. So. You're so articulate. You're beautiful. Yep.
Thanks. After I just stuttered. So anyways, that pretty much does it for our show. Hopefully you guys had a great Easter weekend. We'll be back Wednesday with a top 25 for the mid-major schools, non-Power 5, non-Group of 5 schools. Field of 64 will be released, as well as our new top 10 weekend series pick-em matchup. Hopefully I can gain a couple games on the standings right now, not looking good. And the winner from this past week, do we announce it now or later? We'll announce it on Wednesday.
Sounds good. The winner
has his series chosen as well. So thank you guys. Look forward to hearing back from you or from us on Wednesday. We'll have a great show for you. See you.